are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Can I just go out on a limb and say that I do not support this recommendation?
Oh, God. I'm in a really bad rabbit hole right now. We are friends with Fantasy Benefits. Ever since we were talking about Pat Burrell, I basically haven't been paying attention to the podcast. I've been just Googling Pat Burrell stories, and I just recommend you guys Google Pat Burrell bondage.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Hardest partying athletes of all time. They got Pat Burrell 18. How the hell is Tiger Woods? Tiger Woods only 14? The guy like had sex with every single woman on this planet. It makes, what's his name? Will Chamberlain look like a bitch.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode are Darius and Eli. Eli, how you doing?
I'm excellent. Glad to be here with you, gentlemen.
Glad to have you, buddy.
No sarcasm there, by the way.
I was just about ready to start into some Survivor talk, but then I realized we have Darius on the line, and we're on the baseball podcast. Darius,
oh, this
how
is
are
the
you?
Baseball show? All right, I'm out. See you guys later.
How you doing, Darius?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. It would be interesting to see how long I could play along before people realize that I'd never seen Survivor. But maybe we should talk about some baseball to appease the people who downloaded this for actual baseball talk.
I think you could have faked it, because during that podcast, all Justin just talks the entire time anyway and drowns everyone else out.
That's what I'm good at.
I can probably handle it then. Let's go for it.
All right, let's jump into the first discussion. And we'll stray away from the Survivor talk for right now, but definitely go and check out the Survivor podcast if you're a fan of Survivor. Eli and I'll be recording that the episode literally right after this one. But let's talk about Freddie Freeman. He lands on the DL. I believe the timetable for return is about 8 to 10 weeks. Correct me if I'm wrong. The Braves assigned James Loney to replace him. What are you doing if you're a Freeman owner, Darius? Are you freaking out? Do you feel like this injury could linger past the 8 to 10 weeks as well?
I'm probably crying for a bit first. Mm-hmm. I think that seems like the most natural reaction. I think signing James Loney just makes it all the more depressing somehow. I think
isn't that like a little bit of salt in the wound?
It's like, oh, Matt, we've gone from this guy who's maybe been the best hitter in the league for the last year to James Loney. Yeah, that really hurts. I'm really sorry, Braves fans, and anybody who owns him, including me. So I'm depressed about that. I don't think I'm as worried as maybe something like the Marcus Semien issue. I think it's a non-displaced fracture, so I don't think they're expecting to have too much issue with the healing. Nothing that they've released so far suggests that they expect complications with it, so I think from that perspective, I don't expect it to kind of linger through the end of the season once he's back. But I'm not really sure what else you can do with him now. I mean, maybe if you really want to go and send an offer to somebody in a keeper league or something, then you could give it a try. But I'm sure they know exactly how good Freeman's been, and they're not going to let him go just because he's going to be out for a couple of months. I think 10 weeks sounds like the sort of general estimate now. They kind of revised that up from 8. From the first press release. So I think you've just got to hold tight and hope that your team can hang on while missing one of your best contributors. But it's all around bad, really. I don't think you can replace Freeman's production by any means, because he has, as I say, probably been just as good as, if not better than, Mike Trout over the past calendar year or so.
Eli, your thoughts on Freddie Freeman hitting the DL?
Yeah, it's a bummer. Kind of like Darius said, like, it started out as like 8 to 10 weeks and then immediately went to 10 to 12. And like you said, Justin, this is a kind of a lingering type injury. So even when he comes back, like, where's his power going to be after breaking his wrist? So it's a little bit of a lost season for sure. I don't know how much he's going to be able to help you the last month and a half, even if he comes back right after that 10 to 12 week timetable. But don't bother with James Loney. I'm more interested in Rio Ruiz, who just got called up. He's not exactly a big time prospect or anything, but you know, he's got some skills. James Loney is, I mean, my God, he's like a poor man's Matt Adams or something. I just never want to see James Loney play ever again. But, it sucks because, Freddie Freeman is a stud and he was outperforming even where he was drafted. So it's tough to replace that, like you said. It can't be done.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now, if you're a fantasy owner in a deeper format, I mean, there's not much you can do, obviously, to replace the level of production that Freeman was giving in any format. But if you're in, like, a deeper format, I think now is the time to start investing maybe in some of the prospects that might be coming up here in the next couple weeks. Reese Hoskins of Philadelphia is a guy that, you know, could be up here shortly. He's just crushing it in the minor leagues. And so he could be up. Let's see, who are some other first base prospects coming up? Rowdy Tellez in Toronto. Obviously, Cody Bellinger's already up. But I think those two offer at least some power potential. Reese Hoskins right now in Philadelphia's AAA system is hit 12 home runs. His triple slash is .343, .430, .724. So, like, if you're an NL only and Hoskins is still out there, go ahead and try to pick him up and see if maybe he can catch lightning in a bottle when he comes up in the next couple weeks. But yeah, I'm in total agreement with you guys in terms of Loney as well. I mean, no one should be getting excited over James Loney. Let's talk about some of the players I want to discuss. Jose Berrios, two starts at the major leagues, and last night's was absolutely fantastic. I believe he struck out 11 and 7 in a third and only gave up two hits and no walks. This is pretty exciting from a guy who struggled mightily last year to be showing this at the major league level now. Darius, what are your thoughts on Jose Berrios?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think friend of the podcast, Paul Sporer, has talked before about how he was probably tipping his pitches last year, and that really contributed to his struggles. And I think everything kind of snowballed. He ended up not even throwing strikes, I think, 40% of the time by the end of the year. So it was all a big mess, and I think he just needed the off-season to kind of sort himself out and get back on track. And he certainly doesn't seem to be tipping anything now, because these two starts have been outstanding. So, yeah, I think if you can go out and get him in any league, really, I would go and pick him up, because he's always had the potential. I think he was kind of forgotten about after last season, because it was one of the worst possible debuts you can possibly imagine. And I know I got lowballed in a couple of leagues on some Berrios offers from people trying to get him off me for cheap.
Who would do that?
I don't. Yours was not actually the worst that I got. I had certainly had some much more lowball offers than that.
I can't even remember what I offered, but I'm pretty sure it was like a top prospect.
I think Jorge Mateo was involved. Yes. I don't think that was the whole deal.
But, I believe that's right.
So yeah, if you held on, then you should be pleased about it, because I think he's actually ready to contribute now. I think he's fairly polished as pitching prospects go. So yeah, I think anywhere you can go out and pick Berrios up, because he's always had the pedigree, and I think these couple of starts show that he's actually going to be able to deliver something this year.
Eli, what are your thoughts on Jose Berrios?
Yeah, I really like him too. I know he was like impossibly terrible last year, but the guy was like, you know, barely 22 years old, and so many pitchers think up the joint at the, you know, to start their career. For every like Jose Fernandez who just dominates right from the get-go, there are guys like Roy Halladay who, you know, have the pedigree but just really suck at the beginning and just kind of work their way through it. And, you know, he's, anytime he's ever had adversity in his minor league career, he's always bounced back. He's been great in AAA last year, this year. I think he's up for good this time. I don't think he's going to be on an innings limit either. He pitched 170 innings last year, so that's not something you have to worry about. He gave up two hits in 7 2/3 in each of his two starts with the bigs this year. So I think it's going to be a pretty good source of Ks and quality starts. And, you know, the Twins are a little bit better than people thought, so he's not in exactly a bad situation. So, yeah, it's a lot to be optimistic about.
Yeah, I'm right there with you guys. I mean, for me, the really, really encouraging thing about last night's start, I mean, the strikeouts are great, but he has a total of two walks so far in two starts this year. And in both starts, he's gone 7 2/3. So, I mean, that's really, really impressive. And we saw the strikeouts come out last night. I mean, he was pitching a perfect game through, I want to say, four or five against the Rockies. And it wasn't like the Rockies were running out of scrub lineup at the back end of a doubleheader. It was, it had the majority of their main guys in it. So it was really impressive to watch, impressive to see. I think that this he's obviously the best pitcher in terms of skilled, but also just in terms of where he's at right now on the Twins. And that's in spite of the fact that Irvin Santana is having a pretty damn good year so far. as well. So I think Berrios could easily become a top 25-30 pitcher by the end of the season. Let's go ahead and talk about his teammate Miguel Sano, who has just absolutely been destroying baseballs. He is currently, his triple slash is .293, .424, .626. He has 10 home runs, and he's walking at an over 18% clip. Eli, what are your thoughts on Miguel Sano?
This is just exciting that we're on a Friday podcast. We're talking about players that are actually good at baseball. So that's
We got some bad ones coming.
Oh, yeah, we definitely do. Yeah, there's plenty to love with Miguel Sano. Obviously, the power is clearly real. He's in a good park for hitters. The Twins lineup is, you know, it's pretty decent. So the runs and RBIs should be there. But, like, the most important thing is that he's upped his walk rate from 10 to 18%. And, you know, the 34% K rate is pretty dreadful, but it's actually down from last year. So that's good. Like, you know, the BABIP right now is 419. So that's why he's hitting 290 instead of what's, you know, 240, which is, I think, was kind of expected from him. But even if his batting average dips significantly, you can live with the, you know, subpar batting average when he's getting on base and driving in a ton of runs. So I think he's definitely turned the corner, and maybe, you know, he'll probably slow down from here on out, but he's still going to be quite good.
I was listening to the Flags Fly Forever podcast with friends of the podcast, Mike Gianella and George Bissell, and then also Brett Sayre on there as well. I think Brett was gave them a little trivia question that I'll give you guys real quick, see if you have already seen the answer. Can you guess what his soft contact percentage is?
I know it's something ludicrous in the single digits, but I haven't actually checked to see what it is lately, but like 4% or something stupid.
Yeah,
I would have guessed 8.
It's 4.2%. I mean, that is his soft contact percentage. He's hitting the ball with over 50% hard contact percentage. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous what he's doing. Darius,
I wonder what Billy Hamilton's soft hit percentage is. I know
98, maybe?
That works to his benefit because he can get to first before the dribbler reaches the pitcher. So, Darius, what are your thoughts on Miguel Sano?
Yeah, it's super exciting, really. Echo everything you guys said. The way he's hitting the ball is just incredible. Obviously, in an OBP league, you have to be even more excited. I think the batting average is still going to come down a bit. But if you're in OBP, I think he's going to be elite there anyway, even with a reduced batting average, because 18% walk rate is sort of, you know, Joey Votto-esque. So that's really exciting. And I think now we've just got to start thinking about just how high we're going to draft him next year, because I think he's starting to creep up sort of into like maybe a second round consideration the way he's hitting at the moment.
I mean, I think that's a really good question because, I mean, I think I was the high man here on the FWFB website on Sano. I know I was one of the high men on Sano within the industry because I got in an argument, I believe, with three or four different analysts within the industry. I know Alex Chamberlain and Seth Klein, and I want to say maybe it was Joe Pitaliski, about Sano coming into the year. And I couldn't understand why they hated him so much, and they couldn't understand why I liked him so much. And I was like, I mean, this guy has legit 50 home run power, and you know that he's going to at least walk, you know, 10 to 15% of the time. And, you know, I'm okay with punting average in average leagues. So personally for me, I think I would be taking Sano as a second or third round pick in a 15-team league next year. I'll probably take him in the second round next year. What about you guys? Where do you think you'd be taking him? Obviously, he's not going to keep up this rate, but he shouldn't fall off too hard.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds about right to me. If he keeps, you know, something similar up to this, maybe third round for me.
Yeah, I mean, it depends how the position falls as well, I guess. But everything, you know, underlying matches what he's doing. I'm not looking at a guy and thinking, oh, there's no way you can put up this power. Like you said, he is a 50 home run potential guy. That wouldn't surprise anybody at this point, I don't think. So, yeah, I could certainly see myself taking him in the second round, depending on how things fall.
Let's do a quick would you rather out of third base, because, I mean, third base is actually really, really stacked. And, I mean, I think we knew this coming in. For next season, would you rather Miguel Sano or Joey Gallo?
I'd take Sano.
Oh, yeah. definitely Sano.
Sano or Travis Shaw, who's actually the fourth on the player rater out of third base.
Child, please. No.
Yeah, I mean, Shaw's been really impressive, but definitely still Sano.
All right, speaking of really impressive, Miguel Sano or Jake Lamb?
I'm a Jake Lamb believer, but I still believe in Sano's power more, so I'm going to go Sano again.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if I changed my mind, but Sano for now.
And I love Sano. I mean, I absolutely love Sano, and I'll probably have them pretty close. I'm going to take Jake Lamb because I think the average will be better, and I think the lineup around him will be better. And obviously the park's better. So yeah, I think I'm gonna take Lamb. But I think he could go either way. Miguel Sano or Jonathan VR?
Sano.
Yeah, I gotta go Sano there.
Yeah, I think I'm going Sano as well. And honestly, I mean, we're not going Sano over Arenado or Bryant. I think that's the list. I think you got Arenado, Bryant, whichever order you're going to put them in. Oh, Donaldson or Sano.
Donaldson.
Yeah, I'm still taking Donaldson there.
I'm still taking Donaldson, even though we haven't seen him this season. So I think you have an argument for Sano as a top four or five third baseman next year.
Sure. By the way, right. Billy Hamilton, 22.2% soft hit.
22.2% soft hit percentage?
Yeah, it's like 60% hard, medium.
No, that's actually pretty good for him, so I'm pretty impressed. Let's move on to someone who has been very much up and down this season, and that is Jeff Samardzija, who's currently got an over 5 ERA and has given up 7 home runs. Darius, what are your thoughts on Jeff Samardzija for the rest of the year?
Yeah, this is one of these ones, a bit like Tanaka we were talking about earlier in the week. You look at the peripherals and you did say, wow, if you hadn't seen his ERA, then you'd think he was having a great season. He's got 28 strikeouts and no walks over his last 3 starts. But then he just seems to somehow still manage to blow up, despite the fact that he's striking out more than 10 batters and per 9 and walking less than 2. So I think it's got to get better. I know he's still a guy who's going to make those mistakes, and I think that those have been punished perhaps a little bit more often than you might expect on average. But the actual other changes that he's made are really impressive. And even if you've got the terrible ERA now, the strikeouts have still been excellent. So I think he's still a durable guy. I think he'll still get a lot of strikeouts. And I think pitching in AT&T, you're going to get the benefit of that, limiting a few home runs as well. So, yeah, I know it's been there have been a few bad starts in there, and it's probably been a bit painful. But I think he's still going to be okay. And I think at this point, when we've got a pitcher who can give you 200 innings, there are so many people who have got a staff full of guys in the DL. So I don't think we can sniff at that, really.
Eli, what are your thoughts on Jeff Samardzija?
With this guy, he just burned me so bad with the White Sox a couple years ago. But I mean, Darius is right, he's incredibly reliable. He always goes 200 innings. He's had 200 strikeouts multiple times. He pitches in a great ballpark. That 5.26 ERA is like incredibly misleading. He's got a career best strikeout rate, I think a career best walk rate. The FIP is 3. He's just getting burned with BABIP and runners left on base. I think he's probably going to be pretty good the rest of the year, but I just like feel like he's going to screw me over somehow if I own him. So, I think he's probably going to be good the rest of the year. I just don't like him. So, sorry, Jeff.
I was getting burnt by him this year, and so I dropped him in our 3-sport league. And now I'm regretting it because someone obviously, I figure I could stream him out and stream him back in, and I have no fab, and so I'm forced to place $0 bids rest of the way, and someone else picked him up, and I don't know if they're going to drop him. Like you mentioned, Eli, career best strikeout rate. He's actually got career bests in his FIP rate and ex-FIP rate, I believe. Oh no, just a tiny bit higher than his career best FIP, but his career best ex-FIP. So, I mean, I think these numbers are obviously coming down. I think Eli also mentioned the fact that his left on base percentage is really, really low right now. almost 15% below his career norm. So he's just getting a little bit unlucky. It's interesting to me because his ground ball rate has dropped quite a bit. And I don't know if that's a conscious decision, but I think the Giants' best defense is in the infield. And so it might be better for him to actually try to pitch a little bit more to contact, maybe give up a little bit of those strikeouts and see if that helps a little bit. But I think these numbers are going to turn around. And I think this is one of those few cases of a guy that you may actually be able to buy low on, because people are going to look at that ERA and be a little bit disgusted, and you might be able to get him for just about anything, maybe even just as like a throw-in in a deal.
Well, obviously San Francisco's best defense is in their infield, because they don't even have any outfielders on that team.
This is very true. I'm not going to deny this at all.
It's kind of like how like the Giants haven't had good outfielders in like a decade, and the White Sox haven't had a good third baseman in like 20 years.
Wow. And the defense is good. I mean, you know, when he's on the field.
Yeah, and Denard Span, he's all right.
It sounds like I'm speaking to a couple Giants homers here.
Michael Morse, I mean, what more could you ask for out of left field?
Michael Morse, of course.
Pat Burrell?
Oh, I miss Pat
Burrell. I like Pat Burrell.
I think at this point we just need to play Posey. Like, maybe we can clone him and play him in the outfield as well.
Have you ever heard the stories about how Pat Burrell is a huge douchebag?
No.
I have not. Do you have any anecdotes for us?
He supposedly he is like one of the most cocky and kind of arrogant son of a bitches to ever grace this earth. And it really shows off when he goes out to bars and tries to pick up women.
I wish I had that kind of confidence to talk to women. So good for him.
I'll send you an article about some of the pickup lines and stuff he's used.
Ooh, maybe I can steal some of those.
Yeah, no. I don't think you can call yourself Eli the Bat, but you could definitely try. let's move on and talk about a guy who's been extremely hot so far this year. And I don't know if he gets enough credit, and that's Michael Conforto. 10 home runs already this season. He's hitting .310, .393, .638. Eli, what are your thoughts on Michael Conforto?
I was pretty much going to say the exact same thing. I don't think he gets enough credit. Like, I think we all think he's a good player, but I think he's kind of always been undervalued. I think it's because he kind of like flew through the minor leagues, and we didn't have time to drool over him as a prospect. He kind of just like came up so quickly, so like the buildup wasn't there. But I mean, shit, man, he's been so good no matter where he's been. Raking from the get-go. I think the days of the Mets messing with his playing time, it's over. This is a future, no doubt, star. He's going to be in the lineup all the time from here on out. No more fourth outfielder type shit. He's got good power, solid plate discipline, goes to all fields, doesn't strike out that much compared to some other sluggers. I just think this is the kind of guy that just rakes from the start and never stops. So I just love him. He's a great all-around player.
Darius, what are your thoughts on Conforto?
Yeah, he looks really, really good. I think it might have been Mike Petriello posted a graphic the other day of where all his home runs have ended up, and he's basically hit a home run over the course of the last couple of years to every single part of the park. So this is a guy with serious opposite field power. He's not just pulling everything. I think the average is probably going to come down a little bit from where it is now, but the walks are great. And I do think that there might still be a few issues with lefties there. He's only faced 20 of them, but he struck out 9 times in those 20 plate appearances. So I don't know whether that will have helped in terms of the Mets' concerns with him and the platoon advantage, because that's kind of what's kept him out of the lineup a lot in the past. And I do still worry that Cespedes is going to come back and they're going to mess him around and not play him every day. I hope that's not true. Curtis Granderson has been a little bit better lately. So I just have this little worry that, you know, Cespedes is going to come back and then suddenly we're all going to be sat here yelling at Terry Collins when Michael Conforto is sitting on the bench. So I hope it won't happen, but I'm just going to bring that up because I worry that it will.
Yeah, it was Darren Willman who tweeted out that picture. And
Darren.
It is really, really impressive. I'll retweet it if people want to go and check it out. But yeah, because he's showing power to all fields, and it's not just, you know, cheap ones either. I mean, they show you kind of where the wall is, and to all fields, especially left center or right center, you're seeing plenty of power that would go out in any park. So, you know, I'm feeling like I was just a year too early on Conforto, coming into the 2016 season. I labeled him as a as my number one sleeper candidate, and I just didn't. I guess I wasn't able to, you know, see that the Mets were going to screw around with him in terms of giving him playing time. And I'm hoping that you guys are right in terms of, or that Eli's right, that this is the end of him being a fourth outfielder and being run between double or triple A and the majors or the bench and the field. You got to think at this point in their careers that Granderson will finally cede some playing time to him. And the beauty of Conforto is not only is he hitting for this power and, you know, doing such a great job, he's doing it at the top of their lineup, which to me, you know, is just another example of one, that the Mets actually trust him, but two, that he's going to be able to continue to build on the statistics that he's already put up. He's already, you know, like I said, 10 home runs, one stolen base, but he's walking at at 11 or almost 12% clip. He's only striking out about a quarter of the time. So I love Conforto. The average will probably come down a little bit, but other than that, I think he is easily a buy if you can go out and get him to someone who thinks they might be selling high on a young talent. Let's move on and talk about Matt Harvey, who's one of the crappy players on this list. And because you were so excited to talk about crappy players, Eli, I'll let you start. What are your thoughts on Matt Harvey? Is it time to drop him in, like, you know, 12, 15 team leagues?
I don't know if I'd drop him necessarily, but I mean, it's so alarming. Like, his Ks per nine has gone from 10 to 9 to 8 to 7 to 6 the last 5 years. That's really not a good trend. He's clearly just not the same guy since the injury. It just seems like the Mets are, like, cursed right now. It's just a disaster with every single player except for Conforto, basically. I just don't see how he's going to turn things around. Would anyone be surprised if he got sent to the DL soon or, like, sent to the bullpen to figure things out? You know, maybe try to get lucky for trading for Harvey with, like, 25 cents on the dollar. If you're desperate for pitching, just, you know, try to get lightning in a bottle. But I'm sure nothing's going to work out for him the rest of the year. It's really bleak at this point. I just don't know if he's ever going to be close to what he was. But I still have some hope that he can turn it around. It's not like his velocity is all that down or anything. And he did start the season pretty well. So I think there's some hope. But it just seems like a lost year for a lot of Mets right now.
I mean, here's the only issue with sending him down or changing his roles is the Mets don't have enough healthy arms to do that. They really don't. I mean, Seth Lugo, Steven Matz, Noah Syndergaard, all on the DL. Right now, they're running with a four-man rotation because they've got enough off days to pull it off. But they're going to have to bring Rafael Montero back into the rotation, and that is a pretty big indictment of their depth right now. So, I mean, I don't think they can stop starting Harvey. I think they've just got to try to help him figure things out at the major league level. In terms of dropping him, I dropped him off my barf roster. And I mean, I took him pretty early in that draft, but he was pretty much my, you know, only kind of drag in my pitching staff. And I have a number of injuries, and I couldn't afford to keep rostering him. And so I think for me, I'm dropping him in 12-team leagues, you know, and probably just benching him in 15-team leagues if you can afford to. But I have no problem if you need to drop him because of injuries or other underperformances. Darius, what are your thoughts on Matt Harvey?
Yeah, it's a mess. He looks a mess, and the Mets situation is a mess, really. I don't really want to get involved with it. I have to say I don't own Harvey anywhere, so I don't have to, fortunately, think about what I'm going to do with him. But, yeah, I still don't think he knows where the ball is going. I was taking a look at his heat maps earlier, and his fastball heat map is incredible. It's just like somebody's drawn like a big black circle right in the middle of the zone, like belt high, just exactly where you'd love to have a fastball to hit. And he's had so many of them get hit out of the park or for doubles. He's just not locating well at all. And hitters aren't biting on his stuff out of the zone either. They're swinging much less at pitches outside. So I think that the command is so far off. He looks kind of miserable out there as well now. You sort of see every time he gives up a home run or something, he just kind of looks like a beaten guy. Sort of feel a bit sorry for him, really. It's not going well. I don't see when it's going to turn around. And obviously the situation in New York, as you guys mentioned, has been a bit of a mess all around this season. So I don't know if that's getting in his head as well. But right now, yeah, I want nothing to do with Matt Harvey. And if I had him, then I guess I would see if anybody still wanted to buy into the name. But at this point, I think he might have a hard time.
All right, let's talk about...
All right, can I interrupt real quick?
Go ahead.
Ever since we were talking about Pat Burrell, I basically haven't been paying attention to the podcast whatsoever. I've been just Googling Pat Burrell stories, and I just recommend you guys Google Pat Burrell bondage.
Can I just go out on a limb and say that I do not support this recommendation?
This is a photo that comes up on the internet. It's safe for work. It's just, oh my God, Pat Burrell. Anyways, we can move on now.
I don't think we can move on. Hold on a minute.
So, oh God,
you know,
I'm in a really bad rabbit hole right now.
This is, yeah, this is not good. Yeah, let's move on because I'm not going to be able to unsee that. Andrew Benintendi coming into the year was pretty much everybody's choice except for mine for AL Rookie of the Year. He started off pretty well, but in the month of May he has been scuffling, and he's actually the worst player. Or at least he was of writing the rundown for this yesterday. He was the worst player on the ESPN player rater in the last 7 days. Are you guys worried about Andrew Benintendi? Start with you, Terrence.
I'll go first.
Oh, okay, go ahead. First.
No, I'm not worried. He's 0 for his last 26, and he's still on pace for 89 runs, 20 homers, 93 RBIs, 12 steals, and a .280 average with a .355 OBP. That's a top 30 outfielder if he puts up those numbers. And that's pretty much exactly where you drafted him. And again, he's 0 for his last 26, and he's still on pace for those numbers. Like, he's only 22. He barely played in the minors. He shot up through the ranks quickly. He was really good at the end of last year. He started off great this year. It's just a little bit of slump. Who cares? Like, it's impressive what he's been able to do under some pretty big pressure in Boston. A lot of expectations. They threw him right in the fire, like batting third, batting cleanup, like. I just love this guy. I'm all over him. I love players like this, the Yelich types who just hit for a solid average, get a bunch of runs, do a little bit of everything, not elite in anything necessarily, but just give you solid production across the board. So I think this is just an aberration. I think he's going to be solid the rest of the way, and I would not panic whatsoever.
All right, you can go back to your Pat Burrell pictures. Okay. Darius, what are your thoughts on Benintendi?
Yeah, I think this is just one of those things. It's maybe slightly longer blip than you would expect from somebody who hits as well as he does. But I've just been really impressed. Even during this hitless streak, I've had a look at a few of his at-bats, and his plate coverage is so good. He gets the bat to everything. He's got a 6% swinging strike rate this year, which is really low. It looks like he can hit anything that's remotely near the plate. I think actually a couple of the pitches that he's been unlucky on there over the past week have sort of been well above the strike zone, and he's still made pretty good contact with them, and that just had them taken away by a couple of nice players at third base. So I don't think I'm concerned at all. He's still walking, and I think this is just one of those things. He's ended up not having a few of those balls fall in play, but that will certainly turn around, and I think his approach is so good and his contact is so good that he will come around and he'll be just fine.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm on complex.com. I don't know if you guys have heard of that site. The 25 hardest partying athletes of all time. They got Pat Burrell 18. I'm just scrolling down to see who's in like the top 10. And I see a picture of Josh Hamilton at 17, licking whipped cream off someone's boobs. So that's good.
Should we just leave Eli to it for the rest of the time?
I think we're going to do a separate episode just on that list.
How the hell is Tiger Woods only 14? The guy like had sex with every single woman on this planet. It makes, what's his name? Will Chamberlain look like a bitch.
I'm gonna talk about Andrew Benintendi real quick if I can stop laughing. I agree with you guys. I mean, I'm not worried about this. I think this is just kind of a blip in the radar right now, and I'm sure he will recover. Like Darius mentioned, He's just a professional, mature hitter already at a young age. Great coverage of the strike zone. And Boston's obviously not worried because in spite of the fact that he's struggling, they haven't batted him lower than fourth in the order. So Boston's not worried. I don't think there's any reason for me to be worried. I'll admit it. I was low man, I think, on Andrew Benintendi coming in the year, and I think I was wrong because I think this is a guy who has already proven that he belongs at the major league level in spite of the fact that he skipped AAA and went straight from AA to the pros. So I think Benintendi is still the front runner for Rookie of the Year in spite of my boy Bradley Zimmer, who's hit a home run in every other game so far that he's played in the major league level. Let's move on and talk about some waiver wire ads, some kind of lightly owned guys that might be interesting in leagues to you. So, Eli, if you can tear yourself away from Pat Burrell dressed in Dominic or gear, I don't even know.
Now you're all flustered.
Yeah. Why don't you tell me, are you interested in picking up Whit Merrifield at all, who's having a hot bat right now?
I am going to keep this the rest of this pod very professional, I assure you guys. Whit Merrifield, yeah, he's been playing well, but I don't think the power's really legit. I know he's got 4 homers right now, but he's never hit more than 10 homers in any season in the minor leagues. And he's had some success stealing bases in the minor leagues, but the success rate was never all that great, and I don't think he's capable of getting more than 15 in the major leagues. So I'm not exactly picking him up to like give me a huge boost in steals either. He's not really a walker, so it's tough to steal bags when you're not getting on base at anything better than like a 320 clip. So, he's a decent player, and, I suppose you could try to get some steals with him, but I'm not really all that impressed with him or optimistic that he's going to be an asset. So, in a deep AL only, if you need a little bit of help, fine. But
I think he's probably gone really in a deep AL only, too.
Yeah, you're probably right. So, basically any league where he needs to be owned, he's already owned. So there's really not much to see here, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, Whit Merrifield, he's currently getting everyday at-bats, and that's nice if you're in a deeper format. I think he's probably, like I said, probably already owned in most AL-only leagues. And he's currently batting at the back half, usually around 8, in the really, really bad Royals lineup. He's currently surrounded in the order by Brandon Moss and Alex Gordon. So not going to be a ton of help in terms of his categories. He's currently got a .244 average. His OBP is just barely over 300. Yeah, the power is a nice little boost, but I don't believe it's going to stick around. And he's not running at the back end of the Royals lineup. So I'm going to pass on Whit Merrifield. Are you passing on him, Darius?
It depends on the context. I've actually picked him up in the 15-team league we're in, and I'm using him fairly regularly just because he is playing every day. And for a little while there, they were leading him off, which was a much better idea than leading off Alcides Escobar, who is just awful. I've never been an Escobar fan, but this is bad even for Ned Yost continuing to try and use him at the top of the lineup. So
but
I would like it.
He won a World
would...
Series doing it.
He did, but even then Escobar was sort of hitting for some average, and now there's no walks as usual and there's no average, so there's literally nothing there. So I would like the Royals to at least move him back there. He's not an ideal guy because he still doesn't get on base a ton, Merrifield, but I still think he's going to be a lot better than Escobar there, and I do think there's enough speed there to be playable in a deeper league, certainly. I think Eli's right about the power. I don't think there's a lot there, and I would be surprised if he hit another 4 home runs the rest of the way, to be honest. But I think there's enough speed if the Royals keep playing him that you can use him. Just how those counting stats will end up, especially at the back half of that Royals lineup, that could be a little bit dicey.
All right, let's talk about. I'm totally gonna butcher this name, Jane Pezos, and he's a reliever from the Mariners, and he is being talked about as their interim closer. While Edwin Diaz gets things figured out in the minors, extremely lightly owned. I think Zick and Nick Vincent have more ownership than he does, and so this may be a guy you can sneak through waiver wires in really deep leagues. Darius, what are your thoughts on Pezos?
Yeah, he was certainly somebody I wasn't familiar with. I've sort of seen his name in a couple of box scores and things so far, and that was about it. So he wasn't even a guy who appeared much on prospect lists or anything. He was kind of in the others of note section of the ones I found. So I watched a bit of him. He looks quite, there's sort of quite a sidearm action on it. So I can see him being absolute murder on left-handers because of the ball coming out quite late. But I think righties are going to hit him pretty well. So I would be surprised if he ended up being the closer because he does look a lot more like sort of that lefty specialist to me. But the way things are going in the Mariners bullpen, they're probably willing to try anything right now. So I think there's certainly strikeout potential there. It's definitely against left-handers. But yeah, I think the platoon issues might keep him from being a full-time closer of any sort.
Eli, any interest in Pezos?
Not really. I'm always first in line to grab relievers that could get saves. It just pays off time and time again. You may as well just be the one to get them. And the cost is always pretty low. And if he doesn't get the job, then you just cut him, no harm done. But if he does get the job, you know, you could get a lot of saves for a cheap price. So I say jump on it because, I mean, the reports are that he might get the job. So go for it. But I just don't see this ending well. He's got no track record. And you know how managers love closers with track records. The team's trying to compete. So I just don't think they're going to run out a guy with no track record. And also, I'm always afraid of managers pulling the trigger on lefty closers. They just typically don't do it unless they're insanely dominant. And I don't see that with him. The strikeouts are, you know, they're there, but they're not astronomical. He's pitched pretty well, but he still walks too many guys. And like Darius said, he's kind of like a side armor. Those guys typically don't get the closer's job either. It's rare. Like Brad Ziegler is like the only one I can think of off the top of my head. I don't know. I just it's worth a shot, but I just don't think it's going to happen. It's going to be anything long term.
Yeah, I picked him and Tony Zick up in the CBS AL only industry league about 2 weeks ago, and it was mostly because everybody on my team kept getting injured, and I just needed people who would potentially maybe sneak a save or two and keep my ratios intact while I got the rest of my rotation back healthy. And so far he's been great. You know, he's striking out like 12 per nine right now. You know, he's walking a few too many guys, but for the most part it hasn't burned him. And he's looked pretty good from what I've seen. Do I think he is the guy that is going to get the majority of the saves while Diaz figures out his mechanical issues? No, I think this is going to be a complete clusterfuck at the back end of their bullpen. I think you're going to see all sorts of guys getting save opportunities, and I think they're going to try to fix Diaz as quickly as possible. So, you know, if you're in a situation like I am in both of my AL-only leagues where I really desperately need saves, you know, I'm in first place in both leagues, and I punted saves in both leagues. So anywhere I can get saves in order to just push me up, you know, a couple points here and there, I'm willing to take right now. And so in that kind of situation, I mean, go ahead and try to invest in guys like Zick and Pezos and see if maybe you can, you know, catch lightning in a bottle for a couple weeks and nail down, you know, 5 or 6 or 10 saves. So, but
Darius, you see how he just casually drops in? Oh, I'm in first place in both of those leagues.
Flipped it in there. Humble brag.
I gotta get my
legs. I was higher on Sano than all these other big names. I'm gonna drop.
You're damn right. I take my licks when I get things wrong, you know. But I'm gonna pound my chest a little bit when I'm right.
Fair enough. I actually think Tony Zitch is the guy here. I've always liked him. He got the last save, so that's. I mean, a lot of times that's what does it. You get thrown in the role, you get the save, then you get the next couple. So I'm on Team Zitch here.
Yeah, I just worry about he hasn't looked completely back since coming back from the DL. I just his control isn't quite what it was, and he's not. I gotta double check, but I think his velocity has been down as well. So, his velocity has been down. So, I'm a little worried about that. But I think it's gonna be a total clusterfuck. I think they're gonna mix and match guys. If you look at roster resources page for them right now, they've got 4 guys as the listed as the closer. So, I mean, I think it could be just about anybody. And if you really would want to have a little laugh, you should look at their starting rotation right now. Ariel Miranda, Gallardo, Bergman, Gaviglio, who I can't even pronounce, and their starter for Sunday is to be determined.
He might be the best of the bunch.
If you think the Mets have injury issues, go and look at the Mariners' rotation. Wow.
Well, and the Mariners have absolutely nobody in the minor leagues. Like, in terms of... I mean, I'm surprised Chris Heston isn't up at this point. So.
Yeah, that is surprising, actually.
But let's talk about the next guy. And Justin Smoke is absolutely smoking the ball right now. Any chance you're picking him up, Eli?
I mean, I guess ride the streak, as Tristan Cockcroft might say. But I just don't think, like, I don't think that Smoke has figured it out all of a sudden at age 30. I mean, it is optimistic that his K rate is way down. That's always encouraging, but this just looks like a hot stretch to me, and he's going to go back to being the guy that hits 15 homers with, like, just gives you complete zeros in the other four categories. So I'm going to pass, but I mean, if you can get him cheap, just ride him out for a week, see how it goes.
Darius, what are your thoughts on Justin Smoke?
Yeah, it does feel like we've been here an awful lot of times before. And, you know, he's always been a guy who's had power. We've seen him hit a decent number of home runs in partial seasons and never really play full seasons because he goes into big slumps and gets taken out of the lineup. So I know certainly a lot of the StatCast data seems to like him. I think Jeff Sullivan wrote a piece over the offseason basically saying, hey, look at Justin Smoke hitting a lot of balls really hard like a lot of good players. And it never quite seems to manifest itself into production over a full season. So I'm using him in a league at the moment. One thing I do really like is he seems to be dealing with the breaking and off-speed stuff a lot better, which I know I've seen quite a few Blue Jays fans complain about him with that. Eventually, he's just going to start struggling with those. He's always been able to hit a fastball, but when you throw him something off-speed or a breaking ball, then that's it. He's just going to flail at it. So I don't know how real that is over 6 weeks. That's the kind of thing we probably need to wait a bit longer to see. But so far, it looks good. He's playing every day. He's batting fourth or fifth in the lineup. Steve Pearce is hurt again. So I think while it's happening and he's hitting home runs, you've just got to use him and hope that maybe this time, at whatever this is, the eighth time of asking, that he's actually figured it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because I don't want to believe. Like, I don't want to believe in Justin Smoke at all. But looking through the numbers, I don't really see a reason why not to. I mean, he's, you know, it doesn't seem like he's really doing too much that that would say, you know, his BABIP's not highly inflated. He's not, like, he's not selling out for power. He seems to just be doing what he's supposed to be doing, and that scares me. He's striking out over 10% less than he did last year, and that's over 6 or 7% more than his career average. I think I'm buying into this. And
it's just so hard to get excited about a first baseman with a career slugging under 400.
I know, it really is, but I mean, he's hitting in the middle of the Blue Jays lineup, which is about to get much better. You know, they're going to get Tulo back here in the next couple days. They're going to get Donaldson back. And it's not like the two guys that they're replacing within the lineup is a threat to his playing time. And like Darius mentioned, Steve Pearce is injured. So it's not like he's at risk of losing a whole lot of playing time. I think this is you ride the hot streak until it falls out, but I think they're isn't really a whole lot of reason to believe that it's going to. I mean, I think this may just be a kind of a little bit of a breakout from a guy who we all thought at one point would break out.
He's never had 60 RBIs in his career. That stinks.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, this is a guy who's hit, you know, 20 home runs in the major leagues before and did it in less than a full season's worth of plate appearances. So, I mean, hit 14 home runs last year and a half season's worth, 18 the year before and a half season's worth. So, I mean, the thought, if he could just, you know, I don't think the average will sustain, but, I mean, right now it's 280, and, I mean, if he can maintain like a 255, 260 rest of the way, you're talking about a guy who has got some pretty good value if he hits 30 home runs.
I feel like I need to take a shower after someone complimenting Justin Smoke. I feel dirty. This is gross. Why am I a part of this network?
If Pat Burrell's pictures didn't make you feel like you need to take a shower, nothing will.
So. That's a valid point.
Let's talk about Zach Wheeler, who's actually been one of the few healthy and good parts of the Mets rotation so far this year. You know, and people, this is another guy that was a top tier prospect at one point. He was traded for Carlos Beltran when the Giants were trying to win a World Series. And so far this year has been pretty decent. Eli, are you picking up Zach Wheeler?
Maybe. I've always liked Wheeler, and he's been pretty solid so far, but I feel like he's always been a little overrated. That's what happens when you're a 23-year-old pitcher in New York post, you know, 9 Ks per 9 and have an ERA in the mid-threes. But that was 3 years ago. You know, he's missed two seasons in a row. He's got a career 1.33 whip. He walks way too many guys. It's just a problem. And, I mean, how many innings are they going to let him go after missing the last couple of years? The Mets are a mess. I don't think the wins are going to be there necessarily. I think it's going to be a constant struggle for him to pitch long enough in games to get quality starts. I don't know. I feel like I'll have him on my roster right now, but I just feel like I'd wait for like two good starts in a row and then shop him immediately.
Yeah, the Mets are already 8.5 games back in the division to the Nationals and 6.5 back in the wild card. We're not even out of May. Large portions of their team have been injured. I don't think the Mets are a team that's really built to compete without Noah Syndergaard and Familia and some of the other pieces that they're missing. And I can't imagine, considering he only pitched one inning in single A ball last year, that they're going to throw him out there for 150 innings. And so he's at 40 right now. So, I mean, at max, maybe you're getting another 80 to 90 innings. And I agree. I don't think they're going to be great the entire way. I mean, he walks too many guys. He gives up a little bit too many homers. I think he's erratic, and I think he's going through a hot streak right now. But I think this is one of those situations where I wouldn't ride the hot streak, because I think the results can be so disastrous when things do go wrong for a guy like Wheeler that it can just murder your ratio. So I'm not touching Zach Wheeler. Darius, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think Eli hit the nail on the head when he mentioned how little he's pitched, and you highlighted the one inning in single A, and it just so hard to believe that you can spend this much time away from baseball and then come out and have a good full season. You sort of feel like we might already have seen the majority of what he's going to be able to give them this year, and I have no idea how healthy they think he is or how much they're going to push him, especially if they're out of the running. So he has been pitching okay, and the velocity looks fine. I noticed he's been going to his fastball a lot more often the last few starts, after sort of seeming to have fairly even pitch mix in the first month of the year. So whether that's also a sign that he doesn't want to throw his breaking and off-speed stuff, I don't know. But yeah, I think as a guy with some prospect pedigree, and there's definitely still some upside here, but I don't think you're going to get an awful lot more out of him this season, especially if the Mets are done and they just think maybe it's better off to shut this guy down or at least give him a few starts off, just because for someone to go from nothing at all to pitching 160, 180 innings in the season, I just can't see it happening.
All right, let's move on and talk about Lurie Garcia of Eli's White Sox, who's been pretty hot in the last week. Eli, are you picking up Lurie Garcia?
Sure, just for a little bit. He's a decent player. The power is not legit. I think, what does he have, like 3 homers right now? That's not going to continue. He's got some speed. They're hitting him atop the order right now. So, you know, he's going to score some runs, give you a little bit of production. So ride him out for now, but I think he's just a very flawed player. But sadly, that's the best the White Sox have right now in center field, so he's going to get a good amount of playing time the rest of the year, I think. So, you know, if you need the cheap speed, there are worse options out there.
Darius, are you willing to pick up Lurie Garcia?
In a deep enough league where I need speed, I think, yeah. I'm not sure there's going to be an awful lot else here. I think he's not going to walk a ton. I don't think the batting average is going to be great. And as Eli said, the power probably isn't going to hold up either. But we know that bad teams tend to be a little bit more free.
Hey, telling. Watch yourself.
Sorry, soon to be good teams. What's there the correct phrasing? The 2020 World Series champions, or whatever it is the White Sox are aiming for these days, they probably don't care that much about whether Lurie Garcia gets caught on the base paths or not, I don't think. So, and we've seen with like the Padres last year that they're just happy to let guys run wild. So, yeah, I think if you need cheap speed and that's all you need, then fine. But I don't think there's a whole lot else here apart from that.
I think he's probably already owned in all the formats he's worth picking up in.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's my only issue. I mean, if he's available in your 16-team league, you know, you might as well go ahead and pick him up and ride the hot streak for right now. But, I mean, he's already owned in AL-only formats, I assume. He's probably owned in, you know, a fair amount of 15 and 16-team mixed formats. And I mean, I couldn't advocate picking him up in anything shallower than like a 15 or 16-team format as a guy for cheap speed. So while I agree with what you guys are saying, and I like the fact that he's only striking out at 12.7% of the time, I think he's not that interesting in shallow formats, and I think he's probably pretty widely owned in the deeper formats where you should be picking him up in. So I'm not going to waste too much more time talking about him. And we'll move on to Jimmy Nelson, who I've been a huge fan of for a long time and always thought he was going to break out and never did. And so this year I completely ignored him, and he's starting to put things together. So Darius, is this the start of the Jimmy Nelson breakout that I predicted, or is this just a kind of a couple stretches of a nice starts?
I'm actually kind of interested. I'll be honest, I had not really looked at Nelson at all this year because, like you, I sort of believed him in the past, and I'd spent so many years drafting him, and I kind of got bored of waiting for the breakout to come. And so this was kind of the first time I'd really sat down and looked at his numbers and his pitches and that. And it looks like his changeup is a lot better. He's getting a ton more drop on it. It really seems to be helping his whole arsenal play up. I think he might have dropped his arm slot a little bit. So there are changes here. There's still a few too many walks for my liking. And he hasn't been sustaining hits. He's been giving up hits a few too often so far, by the way. So yeah, there are things that to worry about as well, but yeah, there are certainly some changes here that I'm kind of encouraged to see, and maybe I'll just go out and make a speculative ad or two of Jimmy Nelson in case this is real. But yeah, I think he's still a little way off the full breakout because he's not really jacked up his swinging strike rate or anything like that. It's just a couple of little things there to keep an eye on.
Eli, what are your thoughts on Jimmy Nelson?
I've always liked him too, but man, the walks are always a problem. They have gone down this year, and his strikeout has gone up, so that's always encouraging. But the ground ball is way down. That's a bummer. I don't know. He's fine. I just don't think there's any breakout coming. He's pitched, you know, 500 innings now, and he hasn't really had any sustained run of success. He's been solid, but nothing spectacular. And, you know, like I said, the walks are improving, but there's still a little bit of a problem. Even though he's been, you know, pretty good this year, his whip's still 1.35. It's never going to be... I just don't see him being elite in anything. Like, he might be okay. Even if he puts everything together, he might be okay in a bunch of stats, but this is nothing going to be standing out for him. So he's fine, but, you know, he's got a potential to fully break out, but he hasn't really shown enough signs for it to be a realistic possibility at this point.
Yeah, I mean, one of his main problems has always been having really huge platoon splits. Those seem to be coming down a little bit, but he still pitches in one of the worst parks in baseball. Yeah. I guess maybe I've just been burnt one too many times. I do like some of the improvements. I love the fact the strikeout rate's going up, in spite of the fact that the walk rate is way too high. It's still going down, or still gone down, from last year. And I think the Brewers have no reason not to keep him in the rotation. So I think, he got bounced around between the rotation and the pen quite a bit last year. And I think it will not happen this year. So I think he's one of those guys that could be interesting as a streamer in, you know, 15-team leagues and, you know, maybe the occasional 12-team league. But I think he's more of a guy that I would use as a cheap option in DFS when I've got a good matchup, when he's on the road and things like that. So I'm probably not picking him up outside of just streaming him in nice matchups from here on out.
Just so you know, the last time he pitched out of the bullpen was in 2014, so I just got to call you out on that one.
I thought they moved him to the bullpen last year. Am I wrong?
No, 32 games, 32 starts. And the year before that, 30 games, 30 starts.
I think they might have talked about it and never actually done it.
Mm. Now, get your facts straight, Justin.
I apologize.
First you suggest Justin smoke, and then you talk incorrectly about Jimmy Nelson. Like, why are you even on this podcast?
I have no idea. But there's a great article out there that I'd love everybody to go check out on Barstool Sports.
Pat Burrell?
Yeah, the Pat Burrell article.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into any of the stories, but there are some amazing stories in that Barstool Sports article. So definitely go check that out. Eli, why don't you tell people where you're what you're working on and where you can be reached?
Well, I'm working on mastering my pickup lines from a little help from Jim Pat Burrell. But you can find me on Twitter at EliFWFB.
And Darius, what are you working on? Where can you be reached?
You can find me on Twitter at DariusA64. I probably won't be writing any content about Pat Burrell over the next few days, although it's difficult to avoid the subject at the moment. But you can find me over at Banished to the Pen. Lots of interesting stuff going up every day. We've got a great piece from a guy called Kelvin who frequents the Facebook Effectively Wild group about Kevin Pillar's unfortunate comments earlier this week and how he perhaps shouldn't have used that word and might not understand the implications of it. So I would recommend going and checking that out. And you can also find me over at Batflips and Nerds, which is a UK-based site that I write for, and every week I do a sort of a rundown of all the games that us fans in the UK can actually watch without being insomniacs. So if you are on the other side of the pond and you would like to find out what's on next week, then go and check that out too.
All right, you can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. Email me or the show friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. Please give us a 5-star review on iTunes. It really, really helps us out. And if you do, I will be giving away some more Friends of Fantasy Benefits gear. I think Mike still has some Friends of Fantasy Benefits mugs. And then I've got some Rec Room gear that I'll be giving away. And the only way you can be eligible to win those is if you give us 5-star reviews. We'll pick our favorite ones out for the Friends of Fantasy Benefits t-shirts. And then I'll do random draws on the 5-star reviews for the Rec Room gear. So if you're interested in that stuff, go give us a 5-star review. Really, really helps us out. You can read all my stuff over on Fangraphs, where I write 4 to 5 days a week, or on friendsoffantasybenefits.com. And you can also listen to me here 3 days a week, or on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, where I have a live radio show with Laura Michaels called the Tout Wars Hour that we do Thursdays from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So definitely check out all those places. You can read and hear me, and keep coming back to Friends of Fantasy Benefits, because we're plowing through the season all year long like Pat.
God, are you done? Sorry, I ruined your joke. Are you done plugging all your shit? My God.
Sorry, I've got so much going on. Plus, we got the Survivor podcast that we're going to be recording here next. So definitely check that out.
I got to talk to you for more now. Oh my God.
That's it. That's all I've got going on. So that will wrap us up for this episode. For Eli, Darius, and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.